Hi, everybody. My name is Dr. Adam Weiner, and welcome to this episode of the Uro-Onc Minute. These are brief updates from the experts in urologic oncology. I'm really excited to introduce Dr. Jason Heffron. He is Chief Medical Officer of the Michigan Institute of Urology and an affiliate of Urology Alliance. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Weiner, for allowing me to participate. Really excited to do this podcast with you.
Yeah, excellent. And I think we have a really important topic today. And for you, with someone with the broad urologic oncology practice, this really affects everybody. We're talking about a patient follow-up, whether or not there's someone on active surveillance for either a small renal mass or prostate cancer, or maybe we're keeping an eye on them following their definitive treatment for some sort of cancer. It's something that's incredibly important to ensure our patients have great oncologic outcomes, but it is a challenge. So I'd love to hear your opinion on how you optimize that for your practice.
Yeah, so what we focus on is first we develop pathways that we follow. So as a group, I'm part of a large urology group of over 850 urologists. So what we've developed basically about 3 years ago is pathways, where a collection of experts look at the current guidelines and establish what we think is important and how these patients should be followed. It's not like we're reinventing the guidelines, but guidelines are different than pathways. Guidelines are what you could do. You know, it's a laundry list of options. The pathways we develop are what we should do and what we expect our partners to do. So we established that follow-up criteria, what we expect for essentially every stage and grade of prostate, kidney, or bladder cancer in our practice.
Excellent. So it sounds like the first step is just getting organized and having a consensus among your partners, or for your case, among this very large group of urologists.
Yeah, and that's the first step. But the other part is, as we know, people have guidelines and pathways, but are people really following it? Are people really, you know, doing what they're supposed to do? So where we focus a lot is on analytics and developing processes to make sure that our doctors are following the pathways, or really that our patients are getting the care that they deserve. So specifically in prostate cancer, we use third-party analytics systems to make sure that the patients are coming back per the protocol. And if they're not coming back, you know, we will work with nurse navigators, we will work with data analysts to make sure that they come back and get the PSA that they're supposed to have gotten, depending on where they are, make sure that they return for their office visit. So we focus a lot on developing processes and systems outside the office so that our time or our doctors can focus on that time in the office when they're with that patient. But what you'll see is that it's challenging. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to this. You know, the patients have, you know, ongoing issues or things that are going on. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of patients. So in order to, you know, see the volume and deliver high quality care, you have to have these processes and systems in place to make sure that no one falls through the cracks.
Yeah, it seems like in the case that you're describing, the investment is well worth it. While you keep the patients in the system, you optimize their oncologic care. I mean, we try to avoid people progressing from a low-grade prostate cancer to something that's more high risk and has a higher risk of recurrence. And that plays out in many of the patients that we take care of. It'd be good, I think, for the audience to understand a little bit about the personnel investment. So you talked about nurse navigators, analytics. Do you see these things paying off?
No question. I mean, it pays off. I mean, it always starts with the patient. It pays off because, you know, patients get the care that they deserve, the care that the guidelines or our societies recommend. So we make sure that these patients stay on pathway. From a revenue standpoint, if you want to apply dollars to it, yes, no question that, you know, having patients come back, having drawing labs and taking care of patients in an appropriate manner is also, you know, cost beneficial. So it makes sense on so many different levels to do this. So the navigators are very helpful, as well as having these analytics so that we're not just looking through millions and millions of charts. We have layered systems to identify, you know, Mr. Jones was supposed to get his PSA at 6 months. He didn't show up. Notify the navigator, notify the front desk that this patient's due or past due for his testing, call him back to the office, send him the letter, but bring him in. But not only is it that system of getting these people back, and you know, it's tedious work. It's a lot of, you know, it's just tedious and time consuming. But also is what we focus on is metrics. You know, looking at what is our, you know, return rate. What is our active surveillance rate? Where are we with, you know, an advanced prostate cancer? We do a ton of advanced prostate cancer. What's our P, you know, we're in our pathway, we have to check a PSA every 3 months. What percent of the time is our doctors doing that? So we look at not only, you know, making sure in real time that this testing is being done or these patients are being treated appropriately, but also giving that data back to the physicians. A lot of this stems from my experience with Music, which is a statewide collaborative in Michigan. As Music's been doing this for over a decade and been extremely successful, a lot of those principles came out of Music, and we're just applying it at a massive scale, to deliver high quality care.
Hey, that's great. And I'm really glad you brought up Music, and hearing that it is 10 years old honestly made me feel a little old for a moment, because I remember when that debuted. But it'd be great if you can give the audience a bit of an update or intro into Music, and you know what it's done, and you know the major incredible effects it's had both on Michigan but also probably across the United States as a model.
Yeah, so Music was started probably more than 10 years ago, maybe 14 or 15 years ago. It was an unrestricted grant from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan that was given to University of Michigan, you know, David Miller, Jim Monty, you know, some giants in our field who started this. But it was basically a collaborative of private and academic urologists to work together. And the goal was, you know, pretty straightforward: make Michigan number one in urological care. And we started in prostate. A lot of it was on appropriate use of imaging. We did a lot of work on prostate biopsying and appropriate protocols. But it was really just how can we, you know, improve the quality of care by using data. So highlighting where your practice was, highlighting where you are as a physician within this, you know, large collaborative. And the key is that the sharing of the data is not to make someone feel bad. It's not to say one group's better than the other. One group's not going to put it on a billboard. It's really to work together to use data to drive change, to identify gaps, and to improve quality of care.
Excellent. And again, it seems like that project has certainly made inroads, not just in Michigan, but in the entire United States. I think something that would be useful now to just hear from you is what we've talked about: data, and of course acquiring data, learning where people practices are at, getting the personnel that can do some of that tedious work so the doctor can focus on care. Was there anything that you implemented at the physician level? Was there education, or was it simply, you know, showing them the guidelines or the pathways that were created within the practices?
Well, yeah, it's showing them the pathways, but it's really showing them their data. You know, everyone as a physician, we're so busy, you know, there's stress levels high, there's so many challenges throughout the day. We all try to do the best we can, and we think we are, you know, we think, oh yeah, I order a PSA every time. I always, you know, order germline. I never miss it. But reality is that when we show you your data, you miss it quite frequently, or you might not be at the level that you perceive you're at. So that's why knowing the data is very important to improve outcomes. Oh, all my patients, none of my patients wear pads. You know, we've done a lot of work in prostatectomy, but in actuality, but using third-party query systems, your incontinence rate is higher than what you think it is. So it's giving that data, but I think the key is in a meaningful way, a non-threatening way, and in a way that is supportive, so that you can make those changes. Because if you're not measuring it, if you're not evaluating it, you can't get better. So a lot of what we try to do is give our physicians in a appropriate manner, non-threatening again, way to say whether they're doing a good job or a bad job. And the reality is when, you know, as a chief medical officer, I have these conversations with a lot of my partners, is once you talk to them, it's either a lack of understanding, an email they missed, they didn't understand the pathway or the guideline. And most of the physicians are very grateful and say, thanks for showing this to me. I didn't understand that, or I misread that, or I was doing it this way and I didn't realize everyone's doing it that way. It's those one-on-one communications in a supportive manner that really make a difference. And like all of us, our goal is to deliver the highest quality of care. And everyone wants to get better. So if you can help doctors, do better medicine or do better surgery, everyone's going to be open to that. But the key is just the approach. It's not to threaten and intimidate or make anyone feel bad. The goal is to get better.
I love that. And I just have to applaud your efforts and what you're doing at such a broad, in such a broad practice with so many practicing urologists who are boots on the ground, taking care of so many patients. So, hat tip to you. So if I could summarize things, it's acquired data. It's, don't be afraid to get some personnel hired with the job of bringing these patients back for high fidelity oncology care. And, it's approaching your partners in a non-judgmental manner. Anything you would add before we wrap things up?
No, I think that really summarizes it well. I think the next stage, is, and what we're working on is proving that these pathways, these surveillance protocols improve outcomes. Do we, really challenging as we accumulate all this data, we're following, society recommendations, expert opinion, which is great, but really get down into it and see, is this really the best way to do that? And we have the advantage of having these large patient populations to really critically evaluate these pathways to see if it improves care, are we doing it appropriately, and challenge these. A lot of, going back to music, we just updated our active surveillance protocol. And what's cool about this is it was based on the decade of monitoring tens of thousands of patients on active surveillance. And not only we did it, so we tweaked the new, what we call the flight plan. We tweaked it based on our experience and outcomes of our previous decade. So that's kind of the future, and that's what's exciting. Again, and that's what will lead us to better care, more efficient care, more cost-effective care.
Well, thank you for summarizing that. And thank you, Dr. Jason Heffron, for joining us on the UroOnc Minute. It's a pleasure to have you. We'll look forward to the next episode, okay?
Thank you.
Take care.